1 Timothy chapter 5, 17 and 18. 1 Timothy 5, 17 and 18. The Word of God says, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, 'You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain.' And the laborer is worthy of his wages. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." You may be seated. Let's join our hearts together in prayer as we prepare our hearts for hearing the preaching of the Word of God. Our Father, we do thank you so much for the privilege of having your Word, which is a lamp and is a light. We pray that you would give us the energy we need to be attentive, to be lively, to desire to hear and to obey your Word. Help us all to desire to think deeply about this text and to seek to be faithful to it insofar as you give us ability. And we just pray that you will be glorified in this time. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have seen the reality of showing honor for widows. So we spent two sermons. I preached two sermons on the reality of honoring widows, those who are really widows. And we saw what that meant in the text. Now we will see about giving double honor to elders who rule well, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. And so we shift from widows, the care of widows, to the care of elders. So from widows to elders. Elders here meaning not older people in age, but elders meaning those who are in the office in the church of elder, the office of elder. And so the main point of this sermon is elders who rule well, especially in word and doctrine, in the word and doctrine, are ideally to be financially supported by the church. Elders who rule well, especially in the word and doctrine, are ideally to be financially supported by the church. And so my first point, elders who rule well. My second point, elders given to the word and doctrine. And my third point, elders support it by the church. Elders support it by the church. And so my first point is elders who rule well. God has three groups of people, we could say, in the church. In the New Testament church of God, the church of the living God, he has three groups of people. He has the elders, the deacons, and the saints. Or the bishops, the deacons, and the saints. Or the pastors, and the deacons, and the saints. Let me show you this in Philippians chapter 1. If you turn there, you'll see all three of these groups mentioned, making up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those three groups being elders, deacons, and the saints. So Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, "Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." So we see in the church of Philippi, there were saints in Christ Jesus, the members. There were the bishops, which is another way of referring to the office of elder or a man who is a pastor. The bishops and deacons. And so you see the saints, the bishops, and the deacons. That's what makes up a church. Elders or bishops or pastors, deacons, and the saints. And so we see here reference in the book of 1 Timothy, the text I'm preaching on today, the elders, that particular office in the church of elder, of pastor, of bishop, all used as synonymous in the sense of saying distinct things, but all that same, one and the same office. And so we see that that is what God wants in his church. He wants elders, he wants deacons, and he wants saints. And this is what he wants under the chief shepherd of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see clearly here the reality that also ideally here, it doesn't say let the elder, but ideally in a church, it would be the elders who rule well. The elders, plural. Let me show you this in Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, that reference to the elders. Acts 14, starting at verse 21. Acts chapter 14, starting at verse 21. Seeing again that the pattern is always the elders of the church. Verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. So when they had appointed elders in every church, so elders plural, in every church singular, and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. It's interesting, though, here that it was a church before they had any elders. Because they said that they appointed elders in these churches. So they were churches with no elders. And then when they went back to strengthen them, they appointed elders in every one of these churches. And then if you look at Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter 20, again, what I'm trying to show you is that the New Testament model is always, ideally, it doesn't always happen this way in God's providence, but the ideal is to have more than one pastor or elder shepherding the church. Acts 20 and verse 17. It says, from Miletus, he, that is Paul, sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And then if you look down at verse 28, he describes what the elders are to do. Acts 20 and verse 28. He says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, that same word for bishops, to shepherd or to pastor the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And so he calls for the church of Ephesus, he calls for the elders of the church, who are also bishops or overseers, so that they could pastor the church of God. That they could pastor the church of God. And then if you look at 1 Peter chapter 5, actually before that, go to James. James 5, because that's before 1 Peter in terms of how our Bibles are laid out. James chapter 5 and verse 13 and 14. I'm not going to get into all the details of this text, but I want to focus on the reality of elders. Verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So we see again, church singular, elders plural. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. And so that person is to call for the elders of the church to pray over him. Again, one church, multiple elders. 1 Peter chapter 5 now. 1 Peter chapter 5. And if you look at verse 1, we see Peter by the Holy Spirit saying this, the elders, verse 1 of 1 Peter 5, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that will be revealed. And then he says, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you. And so he says, the elders who are among you. His church, he says, the elders who are among you, I exhort. So he's exhorting the elders of the church, not the elder, but the elders, to shepherd the flock of God. And then we see in the text that I'm preaching on today, that language again, I'm just showing you other portions of scripture that say the same thing, that ideally in a church, the church should desire and pray for and want and long for elders in the church. Let the elders who rule well. Elders is not just a Presbyterian concept. Sometimes, I know not in this church context, but sometimes people, that's a Presbyterian context. No, that's a biblical context that the church has understood. That in a church, singular, there is ideally to be elders, plural. And those elders, according to this text, have a primary task. All the elders have a primary task, and that is to rule well. Let the elders who rule well. Elders are to give themselves to shepherding, leading, guiding, ruling. And so the elders in a church are to give themselves to ruling God's people, not with an iron fist or as a dictator, but in love and care so that they are led in the way they ought to go. And so elders have ruling authority in the church to govern Christ's church according to Christ's word. And so that's a key task of why God appointed elders, so that there will be rule and leadership in the church. Otherwise, if you have no leaders or people who are ruling the church, everybody might be doing their own thing. And you have this in certain places where you don't have formal elders or kind of just different people are doing things how they want it. There's no real leadership and guidance, and it leads to chaos if there's no structure and vision and leadership from the elders. The elders are called to rule well. To rule well so that the people of God are led in the green pastures of God's word, led in the truth of God's gospel and God's law. Let me show you a text that highlights this as well. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. We see that language again of rule. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. We see that language of rule again. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. It says, obey those who have the rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give accounts. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And so we see here again the language that the church of God is to obey those who have the rule over them and be submissive, because that is the structure that God has given to his church, that the elders would rule well. And as the elders rule well, that the people of God, the saints, would obey them and submit to them in the Lord as the elders are seeking to rule well. And so we see here in 1 Timothy chapter 5, that picture that the elders of the church, one of the primary things that they are to do in the church and give themselves to is ruling the church and leading the church well. They are to lead the church well. And so that the church is led not in chaos or no vision or have no idea where they're going, but they should be led so they know exactly where they're headed according to God's truth. And those elders who rule well are to be counted worthy of double honor. We saw about the widows. The widows are to be treated with honor. The honor widows who are really widows. Elders who rule well, we'll see especially those who labor in the word and doctrine, are to be given double honor. That's what the text says. They're to be given double honor. And honor in this context with the widows, it was financial care. If they were widows indeed, if they're really widows. And now for the elders who rule well, especially in the word and doctrine, they're to be given double honor. They're to be given double honor. But now I want to focus on my second point. Elders given to the word and doctrine. And so all elders are pastors. All pastors are elders. All elders are bishops. All bishops are elders. And so if someone is a pastor, they're also an elder and they're also a bishop. If they're a bishop, they're also a pastor and an elder. Hopefully that's making sense. If you're one, you're all three. They're just used interchangeably to describe slightly different things. The bishops emphasizing the oversight of the church, overseeing the church. Elder, the emphasizing that office of someone with spiritual maturity to lead and rule the church. Pastor, emphasizing shepherding the church. But every bishop is a pastor and every pastor is a bishop and so forth. But there's elders in the church that are uniquely given by the gifts and graces that God has given them to the word and to doctrine. You can have elders in the church that are able to teach, yes, but are not especially given to the word and to doctrine. So we could say that they're both elders, they're both pastors, but there's some men, because of how God has gifted them, the graces he's given, that they will give themselves more often to the word of God and to preaching and teaching doctrine. So you might have, let's say, in an eldership, maybe five elders. But let's say you might only have two that really give themselves to word and doctrine. Those other three elders are ruling well. They're good shepherds. But they're not the ones that are consistently giving themselves to the word and doctrine. And so you see a distinction within the eldership. And this is where sometimes people think the elders all must do exactly the same thing at exactly the same rate. But this text teaches us that that is not true, because there's some elders that especially give themselves to word and doctrine. All elders rule well if they're faithful elders, but not all elders are especially given to God's word and giving doctrine to God's people. You might have an elder who is a very godly man, a very good counselor, a very good shepherd for individuals, but he might preach hardly ever. But that doesn't mean he's not a good elder. It just means he's not an elder who especially gives himself to the word and doctrine. And so there's different types of elders in the church. A man could be a faithful elder and a great shepherd of God's sheep, and he might never preach or hardly ever preach. Not because he couldn't if need be, but because he's not an elder who's especially given to those tasks. And so we see that distinction within the eldership. Elders who rule well, which is all the elders, and elders who rule well, especially by giving themselves to the word and doctrine. And that is not to say that one elder is more superior, one elder is less superior. What is to say is God has made us different. And not all men are going to be as gifted to preach and teach God's word publicly, or to give themselves to the laborious study of week in and week out prep for sermons. But they could still be elders. They could still be very faithful elders. But they're not the ones who are especially to be given double honor. I'm trying to convince you from this text that the elders who are especially to be given double honor are those who are especially given to the word and doctrine. And so you could have an elder in this context who's not given double honor in the way the text means it here, but still be a faithful elder. But still be a faithful elder. Because there are two types of elders that God has given in that sense. Elders who give themselves to word and doctrine, and elders who seek to rule well but are not given especially to the word and doctrine. The way the PCA understands this, the Presbyterian Church of America, which is not exactly the way I would word it, but I understand the point they're getting at, and I think there's some truth to it. They would say in a church you have teaching elders, which are the elders who are given to word and doctrine. And then you have ruling elders who are given to ruling and shepherding the church, but are not especially given to the word and doctrine. We might not exactly put it that way, but we can understand what they're getting at. They're saying in a church, we have a group of men in the eldership who are ruling the church well, but we might have, depending on the church size, two or three men or one man who is especially given to preaching and teaching the word of God in this church. And so that's what we see. They are to give themselves to the preaching of God's word, to studying it, to meditating on it, to praying for God's people, so that they can stand up, and when they teach God's people, they're giving them God's word and God's doctrine. That's what elders who give themselves to this are to be about: studying the word of God, to memorizing the word of God, to preaching the word of God, to preaching sound doctrine, so that the people of God might hear the whole counsel of God's word. Not just some of it, not just parts of it, but all of it, the whole counsel of God. And so This is also freeing, I think, for some elders, because some men might have the desire to be elders and would be very good elders, but they would feel overwhelmed by giving themselves to word and doctrine. Meaning, they would feel overwhelmed by giving themselves to consistent preaching of God's word, to really being preaching and teaching consistently, but they could give themselves to ruling the church well. And so we see that's freeing for the elders, that all the elders don't have to be great public preachers, but still be good elders. Because not all elders are going to be given to the word and doctrine in the same way. All elders must be able to teach. They must have the ability to communicate God's word clearly, but they don't all give themselves to the word and doctrine in the exact same way. And so it would be fine in our church if we had other elders, and I still did most of the preaching. Because they might be elders who merely are ruling well, and I don't mean merely in a condescending way, but in the sense of they're not giving themselves to word and doctrine, and that would be perfectly acceptable. Because we see that there are some elders that are to labor in the word and doctrine, but not all of them are going to rule that way, because there's especially elders who rule in that way. And so we see that God teaches us that in the church, there's elders who rule well, which is to be all of them, and then there's elders who are specially ruling and leading the church by giving themselves to the word of God and doctrine. And so hopefully you see that in the text. You see that in the text. And now my third point is elders support it by the church. Elders support it by the church. We see the call explicitly that how we know this is the double honor is talking about financial support because of verse 18. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. And the laborer is worthy of his wages. He quotes an Old Testament text, Deuteronomy 25, and a New Testament text, Luke 10, and says, the scripture says. It's interesting, he uses this ceremonial example connected with how they treat an ox. They would let the ox tread out the grain, that he would get some of the benefit as he's working to tread out the grain for the farmer. And he uses that example to say, that example should teach you that elders who give themselves the word and doctrine should be cared for. They should be able to be provided for by the church. If that is what you should do for an ox when they're working, they should be able to get some of the benefit of their ministry of serving you by treading out the grain. They should be partaking of what they're doing. They should get some of the benefits. Don't muzzle the ox where it doesn't get any benefit from doing all that work. They should be provided for in some way while they're doing that work. And if God cares for mere creatures, animals, how much more does he care for, in this context, elders who give themselves to the word and doctrine? And then he says, quoting the scriptures as well in Luke 10, that the laborer, the one who labors in God's word, is worthy of his wages. So he uses the Old Testament and the New Testament to prove the point that elders who give themselves to the word and doctrine should not be muzzled and should get what is worthy for their wages. Should get what is worthy for their wages. We see this taught in other places in the Word of God, this principle. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we see this principle as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we see in this context, Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is talking about him not taking that right to receive goods from the church, but he's teaching us here that it's perfectly right and acceptable for those who do minister in the church in word and doctrine to be provided for by the church. Let me start at verse 7. Whoever goes to war at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat its fruits, or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? Do I say these things as a mere man? Or does not the law say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, you should not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt. this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. If he has sown spiritual things for you, it is a great thing if we reap your material things. If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. And so we see here, he unpacks a little bit more in this text, that principle of the ox not being muzzled, and then sums it up by saying this in verse 14, that those who preach the gospel, those who are ministering the gospel of Christ, should live from the gospel. And then in Galatians 6, if you turn there, Galatians 6, and I'll be reading verse 6, which is another text that shows that elders should be provided for by the church as the ideal. Galatians 6 and verse 6 says, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches." Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. So we see there that if you're being taught the word, you should share all the good things with him who teaches. This is the principle that, again, the laborer is deserving of his wages. Let me turn to you and have you hear what our Confession of Faith says, the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith, about this subject. It sums up, I think, what the Bible teaches quite well. This is paragraph 10 of chapter 26. It says, quote, "The work of pastors being constantly to attend the service of Christ in his churches, in the ministry of the word and prayer, with watching for their souls, as they that must give an account to him, it is incumbent on the churches to whom they minister not only to give them all due respect, but also to communicate to them of all their good things according to their ability, so as they may have a comfortable supply without being themselves entangled in secular affairs, and may also be capable of exercising hospitality towards others. And this is required by the law of nature and by the express order of our Lord Jesus, who has ordained that they that preach the gospel should live of the gospel," end quote. And so we see there, they summarize very well, that it's incumbent upon the church, as they have ability, to provide for those elders who minister in the word and doctrine so that they can be free from secular affairs, because this is the law of nature and the express command of the Lord Jesus, who says those who preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Some people in our day have seen pastors being paid abused, and it can be abused, of course. Anything, any good thing can be abused. And some people shy away from it. Say it would probably be better if pastors weren't paid at all, and they're doing their own thing, and they're also pastoring. And I can understand the concern, because men can sometimes get paid astronomical amounts that are not necessary, or especially with prosperity preachers that are a whole different category, when they're just using the money to get rich and taking advantage of the poor and the destitute. But beloved, we don't want to take abuses and nullify the rule. Can people abuse as pastors getting paid in word and doctrine? Absolutely. But we should not set aside God's principle because it can be abused. Because something can be abused doesn't mean we should set it aside. It means we should use it in the right way that God has prescribed it. It doesn't mean we say it's not important. We should say, how can we use this in a way that would be faithful? And what is a key reason for why elders who give themselves to word and doctrine ideally are provided for by the church? Well, one is so that they're freed up to do what Acts 6 says they were commanded to do, and that is to give themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word, and according to Hebrews 13, so that they can more effectively watch out for the souls of God's people. And so it frees them up. It frees them up to give more time to prayer and study and sermon prep, and so that they can faithfully minister God's word, and so that they can shepherd the sheep properly. And so that is a key reason. And that's what our confession says. It emphasizes those three things, ministering the word, praying, and keeping a watch over the souls given to their responsibility. Those three things are what pastors, what elders, what bishops are to give themselves to. And so this is why God commands and God desires for a church to not muzzle the ox while it treads out the grain, but to give the labor what is worthy of his wages, or give the labor who is worthy of his wages, because he is worthy of his wages. And so can this be abused? Of course. Can it be used as just something that is misused? Of course. But the word of God teaches us clearly here that ideally for churches, those elders in their church who are giving themselves to the word and doctrine, those who are laboring and preaching and teaching, those who are seeking to strive hard after being faithful men in the word and giving sound doctrine to the church, they are to be provided for by that church. Because we pay for what we care about. Isn't this true? We pay for what we care about. That's the whole point of this text. I'm trying to be faithful to this text regardless of what happens to me. I'm just trying to preach this text, just so everybody knows. But we pay for what we care about. If we think something's important, we will go out of our way to make sure that we put our money where our mouth is, because we say, this is important. I value it. I think it's important that this is done. So what this text is teaching us is churches have to say, how important do they think it is that their elder who is given to word and doctrine, how important is that he is a man of prayer and able to give sufficient time to that and to studying and reading things about the word of God and preparing good sermons that are helpful for God's people and able to shepherd the flock of God to make sure they're cared for and can be on call if people have problems or cared for, or shepherding them and pastoring them as actual shepherds. That's the whole point, is we pay for what we prioritize. And in our culture, you know what we prioritize is professional sports. That's why they make so much money. Because they care so much about that. I'm not saying pastors should get paid like professional athletes. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying people care about those things. That's why they make so much money. Because that's what people value. And so the elders are to be valued and to be double honored. Not only by giving respect to elders in the way you speak about them, in the way you talk about them, the way you encourage them, but in the way where you put, to use our modern day language, your money where your mouth is. And so elders are to be treated in that way. We also see, let me turn you to 1 Thessalonians 5 in another text that is helpful about the care of elders. Not necessarily this context, financial, but in terms of how the church should view the elders that God has appointed in their midst. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 12, and I'll read 12 and 13. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13. It says this, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, be at peace among yourselves." So he says, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, says to the brethren, recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, which is a way of describing the elders, and they're admonishing you. And your job as the people of God is to esteem them, namely those who labor among you, very highly in love for their work's sake. So there is to be amongst the elders from the people of God, which we saw in Philippians 1 is the saints, esteeming them very highly in love for their work's sake. And so this is why the church is to, one of the reasons why the church is to care for their pastors. I will say this though, this church is obeying this text in a way that we can, at least, or we feel was prudent at this time, as this church is providing for my housing. And so I am thankful for that. So I don't want anybody to feel as if this text is not being obeyed at all by this church. It is. But obviously it can be done in a way where elders can be set aside completely. But I am thankful for the provision that this church has given me at this point. And sometimes people think as well that pastoring is just something that happens on the Lord's Day or maybe on Wednesday. And they just think, you know what, he kind of has every other day off to do whatever he wants. And then he just kind of shows up one day and just kind of shoots from the hip and says whatever. If only pastoring was that easy. But no, of course, it's not like that. You can't just kind of wing it. So you have to think about the text and read things on the text and pray over the text and think about what you're going to say. And there's people who have problems who call or need counseling, or there's people to pray for. There's Bible studies to be involved in. There's people to evangelize. There's much work to be done amongst elders who are given to the word and doctrine. And so it's not something that you just kind of show up and say, let's go. There's work to be done. There's prep. There's thought. There's prayer. There's all those things. And so pastoring is definitely a weighty responsibility. And the three things that God commands me to do for you is to pray, is to minister his word, and to watch over your souls. To pray, to minister his word, and to watch over your souls. And so we see that elders in the church, if we are to widows, God cares deeply about widows and about their provision if they are widows indeed. He says, honor them. But it is interesting that God says, give double honor to the elders who give themselves the word and doctrine. He's saying, I care about the widows. Yes, I love them. He's a father to the fatherless. He cares for the orphan, the widow. But there's a sense in which God knows the priority for the church to really be able to care for those who are in their midst is if the elders are given double honor. Because the elders are the ones who are going to guide the ship and lead it in the direction that the church ought to go. And so if you're here, how do we apply a text like this? There's been kind of application, but to really bring it home, how do we apply a text like this? First, if you're without Christ, you get to hear the word and doctrine week in and week out if you're here. And that word is meant to lead you to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That word that you're hearing over and over again, giving as I'm giving myself to word and doctrine, if you're lost, is to give yourself to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to give yourself to not trust in yourself, but trust in him who died and rose again. And that's the purpose of why God has given me to give you the word and doctrine. If you're outside of Christ, it's so that you would humble yourself, repent, and put your trust in Jesus and in Jesus alone. And also for the saints, we should pray. We should pray that in God's time, he would raise up another elder to shepherd the flock. It might not be an elder who's given to word and doctrine. It might not be an elder who preaches consistently, because there's elders who especially give themselves to word and doctrine. But he would be an elder who would shepherd the flock well, who would be a man who would meet the qualifications and would desire from his heart to shepherd the flock of God, which is among us. And so we should pray, because we desire that we can say, let the elders of Triune Grace rule well. That should be our desire. We should desire that you could, as a member, call for the elders of the church to pray over you. That if we had a meeting, they could say, bring the elders of Triune Grace. That should be our desire, which is the biblical pattern. It's always the elders. That's always the biblical pattern. We can't force it to happen. We'll see in this text as well later on to not lay hands on anyone hastily, in the sense of don't just lay hands on someone to ordain them the office of elder just because you need them. So we don't want that either. But we also want to pray to the head of the church who gives gifts to the church. And one of those gifts is pastor teachers. And so we should pray that God would equip this church with more elders. We trust him in this season. If you can have a church with no elders, you can definitely have a church with one elder. But it's not the ideal. The ideal is you have the elders of the church ruling well. And so let's pray for that, beloved. Even if it's just an elder that would desire to give himself to ruling well. Because as I think about it, I don't necessarily feel like I'm overwhelmed by preparing and preaching and all these things. But it would be a blessing for me to have another man who was formerly an elder that I could go to for counsel, that could pastor me and could pastor the church. That would be a blessing. I am thankful that I have Rob and Chris as deacons, even though they're not elders, and we don't believe they are elders in the sense that we don't have a deacon model of our church that makes them basically elders. But we do have, I do have them to go to, but it is a blessing in a church to have pastors together, being able to pastor each other and the church of Jesus Christ. And so let's pray for that. Let's pray for that. And then elders, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine, are to receive double honor and therefore receive financial compensation through the church. Hopefully you're convinced that that's what the text teaches. That the ideal for a church is that they are giving their elders who are laboring in the word and doctrine financial compensation because of their labor. Labor is worthy of his wages, not to muzzle the ox. And so that should be our desire as we seek in this small church, that what would it look like more and more for the elders who give themselves to the word and doctrine to be financially compensated. And then pray for me as your elder that I would give myself to prayer, to studying and preaching of God's word and shepherding Christ's sheep, which is my task. It's nice that I don't have an overwhelming amount of things, but I have sobering things. Those are really the only three things that God requires me to do. We could put evangelize in there, but that's connected with ministering the word. I'm to pray, I'm to minister God's word by study and preaching, and I'm to shepherd Christ's sheep that are members here. And so pray for me that God will give me grace to do that, especially in a season when I am still bivocational, that God will give me grace in those things. And so may our church, and may we be a people who honor elders, give them double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine, because God is the one who has appointed them for the good of the church. They're a gift from Christ. The ascended Christ gave gifts to men. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And he gave them for the good of the church and for his glory. And when we don't honor elders, we are not honoring the one who gave elders, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would raise up more elders for this church, and that you would cause this church to prosper under your grace. Help me to give myself to prayer and your word and shepherding these dear sheep. In Jesus' name, amen.